following program is an independent production brought to you by Bridge Holistic Healing. Informative, inspirational discussions on how to enrich your life in body, mind, and spirit. Welcome to the Dr. Leslie Show, providing tips you need and expert insight on holistic living. Then join us as we delve into the spiritual journey and explore the soul in Wave of Fire on the Dr. Leslie Show. Welcome to the Dr. Leslie Show, your bridge to wholeness in body, mind, and spirit. Folks, remember that you are coming together once again with a soul community from around the world. The listening audience to this show represents over 190 countries. So let's all imagine right now in our minds and in our hearts joining with people of different skin color than our own, of different backgrounds and cultures and upbringings than our own, of different environments, of lands far away from our own. And remember that as much as it would seem that we are very different from one another, underneath it all, we're exactly the same. We have far more in common than any differences that may appear on the outside. And ultimately, what we're coming together today to do is to bring in more gifts, more tools, access more information and inspiration to move into our best life ever. Why? Because we are the driver of that ship. We are creating our own reality. You have the power to do that now. And so let's join together, open our hearts, open our minds, and know that today is a blessed day, and you have the ability to make it your best day ever. Let's move into that right now. Now, folks, I want to remind you that our home base online is bridgeholistichealing.com. Again, that's B-R-I-D-G-E, bridge like bridge over troubled waters, bridge holistic with an H, healing.com. Go to the radio page, and that's where you will find all of our archive shows and every show that's aired live through the radio. On Mondays and Thursdays, we have our live show from 11:30 to 12 Eastern. And then Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 7 p.m. broadcast. Those broadcasts will come through the internet on your computer every day as well. Okay? And that's how we're joining all these folks from around the world. Now, today, folks, we have part two with a returning guest named Barry Selby, popular man who's all about love, okay? He's the author of the book, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. Barry was with us, you'll remember, just recently. And it was so good, so hot, such a great conversation. We had to say, look, we've got to go into part two because this just isn't enough, okay? Barry's a passionate champion for the divine feminine. He's helping strong, successful women own and express their feminine magnificence in love and in the world. Barry's known as the Love Doctor to his friends and his clients. He's a number one best-selling author, professional speaker, and relationship transformation expert. Barry empowers his clients to create conscious, passionate, and deep relationships. His heart and passion is empowering successful single women to embrace and own their authentic feminine power and attract their true equal in loving relationship. Barry, welcome back. We're excited to have you today.
My pleasure to be here again.
Barry, last time we talked quite a bit about the differences between men and women in dating. And you were telling a bit about how, you know, women can move into that place of allowing instead of going out chasing down and searching and kind of being the hunter-gatherer for the new partner, because that's more of the masculine role. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit more about those differences. And particularly with women, I wanted to ask you, why do women tend to choose the wrong men? I've seen so many women in my life, and certainly it never includes me when I talk about these stories, but often women tend to move into dysfunctional relationships and patterns. You know, why does it take us sometimes so long to work through that and graduate into something healthy? Why are women picking the wrong fellas?
Well, this could take more than one show, but no. I can succinctly, I'll put it this way. A large part of the work I do with my clients is based upon the fact that we tend to, and this is true for men as well, often miss the target we're aiming for in terms of choosing the right partner. And so the thing about where women in particular tend to draw to them or go out for the bad boy or the one that they don't deserve, that they doesn't deserve them. I hate to say this, but it's largely based on their upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm saying this is because part of the work I've done and studied and teach, I refer to, in particular, Bruce Lipton, who wrote the Biology of Belief, because he explains the way the consciousness of the mind works when you're younger. Basically, it works this way. The first 7 years of our life, or give or take a year, we are, we'll look back it up. We don't get born with the user manual. So, and nor do our parents get one when we're born. So the way we're raised is the way we were raised. There's no like structure, framework, or ideal teaching to make us the perfect person. So we have our flaws. And the challenge when we grow up, or when we're born rather, is the first 7-8 years of our life, we don't have clear understanding of how life works, and we don't have a conscious mind that discerns what's right and wrong. We take life in and look at the way the world is as being the way it is. And so the way that the relationships we see in our parents, particularly, or the adults around us, the way they act versus what they tell us, of course, we believe is the way it should be. And that's the model we use for our choices when we're adults, when our conscious mind is going, well, I want this, 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 and this. A subconscious mind that was taking all that stuff in for the first 7 years or so is actually making the choices for us. I mean, choosing what, or we end up getting what we don't choose, or we get something other than what we think we want. In addition to that, which is the biggest part, there's also the fact that we tend to settle for what we think the world allows us to have. We don't always, I'm talking including myself, we don't always have the highest vision for our choices in relationship too. So oftentimes we settle for less than we deserve because we don't think we can have it, which is a mistaken belief, but also a default programming I think society teaches us.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, this is our subconscious mind making all these decisions and having drawn these conclusions. Is this why we end up tending to select our opposite sex parents in a different body, right? Is this why we gravitate often towards a person who embodies the traits of our fathers, if it was a woman, you know, that would tend to, on some level, embody the trait of the father because of the subconscious programming that says this is how life is and this is how a husband is?
Largely so, yes, but I've also been learning more about how it doesn't necessarily have to be the opposite parent. It can be the one that we felt the most love from, which could be from the same gender parent.
Okay.
So it's not gender-based necessarily. It's more about the source of loving we get from a parent. And then the filters that it comes through that becomes the way we choose our love, too.
Okay. And do we end up having a distorted view of what love is at times from that first 7 years? I'm hearing you say there's no judgment there. We're just absorbing this information like a sponge. And the subconscious mind is just drawing conclusions to say, this is how it is, this is how it is, this is how it is, and always will be.
Yeah.
And so we are kind of programmed with that. You know, if we grow up in a dysfunctional family of distortion of love, I guess, then are we likely going to try to replicate that from some level, even if we're determined not to do that on a conscious level?
Right, exactly so, because if some conscious mind has the association of loving being tied to that particular dysfunction,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to tend to repeat it because that's where we're going to feel most comfortably in love, which is so not making sense to our logical mind. But subconsciously, that's what we have tied as an association. Because remember, these are basically, we have a 5 or 6-year-old inside running around choosing love based on what we learned as a kid, when we were kids. And so we tend to repeat the same pattern because that's what we think love should feel like. And we feel that resonance. I mean, I've seen people choose relationships that are actually physically abusive because that's what they were raised with. And it's incredibly painful to watch, but it's how they associate loving as being expressed.
Well, and I was, my heart was just aching from thinking about a scenario of that right when you were speaking it, okay, of someone that I know of, you know, right here in the present moment in my life, who I'm aware had abuse in her background. And what I notice is she's abusive to her young children. And I see these children abusing animals. Okay, because I guess because they, this is what's normal love for them. Okay, so how, you know, the Bible says that the sins of the forefathers are passed down to the seventh generation. Okay, so when I talk about sin being missed the target, so if we are missing out on what true love, healthy love expression is, and that dynamic is passed down generation to generation through this type of programming to our subconscious mind, how in the world does that pattern ever get broken? How do you break that chain and start something new? I mean, it seems like it would just be like paddling upstream in a big way.
Well, for those people who don't tax this, because to be honest, a lot of people go through life unaware of the fact they have a choice, and they think it's the only way they can do it, and that mostly is then their predefined destiny. However, if that question comes up for you, that's the first step right there, because you suddenly realize, hang on a second, there's a better choice out there. I just don't know how to get there. And so with my clients, a lot of work I've done, so with the background of psychology and other things as well, with different approaches, what really, the best way to describe it is I help them make friends with their younger self and change the paradigm of love that the younger self experiences. That's the simplest way I can put it.
Oh, that's powerful.
When it comes down to, well, it's yes. I'm trying to explain it in more detail. I'm going with that lens. That's the best way of explaining it. So, yes.
Sure. Well, I'd love to hear a little more detail. So basically, you're saying become friends with that 0 to 7-year-old you within you. Become friends with your subconscious mind self. Become friends with that inner child that's really running the show. Acknowledge that that's what's happening. Become friends with that child. And then what? Re-educate the child from a new place? You know, how do you even begin to do that?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that all of this reality is inside your own consciousness. There's nothing outside you can change. That's already done. But what's inside can be changed, because it's your memories and your beliefs. So a large piece of this is your own self-love. And it starts really, and the way I work with my clients is I help my clients first of all start to love who they are as an adult first. And then with guidance, they become the new parent to their inner child. I mean, this sounds weird in some ways, but the truth is it's very simple. It's by being the adult in their younger self's life internally, they repattern the programming the younger self has chosen, and they can start loving from a much more healthy, authentic place as the adult to their child, and then start bringing a new memory in, which then changes their future.
So is there kind of a daily practice? I mean, it seems like you'd be undoing a lot of longstanding old habits. You know, how does a person, you know, step by step move into recreating their past, really? Recreating, that their subconscious beliefs and how they hold, you know, what they hold as their memory of what's normal?
Well, first of all, there's a hidden secret to this. Is that the younger self always wants love. And when you bring love in a way that is authentic and clean, it becomes very magnetic. So it's not as hard as it sounds. But it does require consistency, yes. I mean, there are practices that are every day, and also deeper work in sessions with my clients that take some time, but they are stacked in favor of success, because love is the answer, and it's the key.
So how... Are there practical tools? You know, I know Bruce Lipton myself, and so folks, you know, we've talked about this man's work. You know, actually, I realize I haven't actually brought him on the show yet, but he lives most of the year in New Zealand, where I was my home for a long, long time, and teaches at the School of Chiropractic there. And so, folks, this is a very outside-the-box scientist who has come to, you know, make us aware of a lot of things scientifically that are kind of dispelling a lot of the false beliefs that we used to have. And he's making us aware that we're not necessarily victims to A, our subconscious mind, B, we're not victims to our own genetics. He developed this field of epigenetics and how we are able to change the environment of even the genetic predisposition that we have and determine what is or is not expressed by actually determining what field those cells are going to be in. We do have control over what's going to come forward in our lives to a large degree, particularly by the lifestyle we're choosing and how we're thinking and feeling. So it sounds to me like Barry Selby is actually working with his clients to help them reprogram themselves so that they become potential for healthier choices, that they actually become healthy people with a healthy past and a healthy upbringing, even if originally that wasn't their reality. You're actually reprogramming the past. Isn't that right, Barry?
Yes, because I'm very passionate about my clients not being victims of their own history, because we don't need to be.
Exactly. Okay, so folks, even your own history, you know what? You can change the story. You can change the story. So again, we're going to take a quick break and come back in a moment. This is Barry Selby, author of 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, 50 ways to actually move into healthy love, to actually move into that dream relationship that you've been looking for. Okay, we're going to be back in just a moment, just after a word from our sponsors. And here's Pet Tip of the Day, brought to you by Veterinary Hospital of Davidson. Healthy, happy, holistic.
All cats and dogs are required to be vaccinated for rabies, but some rabies vaccines are healthier than others. Make sure your cat has a non-adjuvanted vaccine and your dog has a mercury-free vaccine. If you're worried about it, ask a holistic vet about homeopathic remedies to minimize the side effects.
And that was Pet Tip of the Day with Dr. Nicole Sheehan and the holistic team of vets at the Veterinary Hospital of Davidson in Davidson, North Carolina. Now, know that that practice draws in clients, furry and feathery family members from all around the Southeast. Why? They've built a huge reputation because what they're doing works so well, okay? Diseases and ailments with animals that have been untreatable before, they're getting success with these new methods of combining the East and the West. That's traditional medicine as well as non-traditional energy medicine, acupuncture, herbology for your pets. So you get the best of both worlds. Check them out at davidsonvet.com. Again, go online, check them out at davidsonvet.com. When you book your first appointment, tell them Dr. Leslie sent you, and you will be eligible for the Dr. Leslie discount. That's a VIP special, gives you $25 off of your first appointment. Again, tell them Dr. Leslie sent you, and that's davidsonvet.com. Now, we're back with Barry Selby, who's the author of 50 Ways to Love Your Lover and is actually changing the lives of many women and their sweethearts, because he's helping them move into alignment for healthier relationships, making healthier choices, and actually making healthy relationships that last. So, Barry, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that transition in between relationships, okay? So, all right, you know, we've come to the end of another relationship, and that, you know, whether it was a wonderful adventure that just, you know, came to a close of its purpose, and we feel joyous about everything that it was and moving forward to what's next, or if we're devastatedly heartbroken and feel like something went horribly wrong, you know, where do we go from there? Can we jump right into another relationship and just try to cover up the mess that we just stepped out of? Or, you know, what's the best way to make the next transition?
I like the way you say that. First of all, the phrase of relationship rebound is not a wise choice. So I'm definitely a fan of taking time, taking stock, and taking your heart to heal and be present with you before you move into a new relationship. It's kind of like, an analogy that just jumped to mind, which may or may not fit, is that sometimes it's good to take a space between meals so you can let the flavors and the taste of the previous meal digest before you start a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships, especially when it's, and I would say particularly towards the ones which didn't go well. And I did a talk recently about this, about how when women particularly, but men do it too, but when women go through a rough breakup, their heart hurts a lot. They're in heartbreak, pain, whatever that is. And what they tend to do, which is their normal behavior, is as creatures have had it, is that we tend to lick our wounds. And what women often do is they will basically shut down their heart or protect their heart to stop it from being hurt again as a natural reflex. And what happens, it tends to go numb because they're hiding the feeling, so there's no resolution to it, and the feeling is just numbed out. And the analogy I use is if you imagine your heart being inside of an ice cube, so it doesn't feel anything and it's safe.
Mm.
But then if they fall into a new relationship without healing their heart, what happens is they fall in love with somebody else, and as the walls come down because the loving warms up the ice cube, it starts to melt, which is the numbing around the heart. So in a new relationship, you fall in love, it's wonderful, everything's going great, until the numbness goes away or the ice cube melts enough where the heart is revealed and the pain is still there. And the pain now comes out in the new relationship with the person who didn't start it, but they receive it because you haven't healed it yet.
Hmm.
So it's kind of unfair to take your pain and suffering onto the new person. So it's ideal that you do the work when you're single because you want to choose a new relationship from a healthy place again, not from a numb or hurt place.
Hmm. Well, that makes me think of all the times that I have known men and women who have moved into a new relationship, and then after time, they're having issues or second thoughts again about the previous love, okay? And so now that you're saying that, it makes sense to me that they've had the ice coating around the heart, you know, so they can't even feel those things. And then as it starts to melt, then it might be that what comes forward is unfinished business where they haven't really completed or, you know, I mean, do you see that happening sometimes where a woman moves forward into a new relationship, she thinks it's all great, and then the next thing you know, she's having thoughts of that old relationship again. You know, and I've heard it so many times where people are upset because their partner is now talking about their ex-partner. You know, they didn't finish something or other up there. And is it possible that they just disconnected when they did the, you know, the heart ice treatment? What do we call that? Cryotherapy for the heart. stuck the heart in the ice cube, and then ultimately that ice cube needs to melt, and as it does, you're back to reality of what we didn't finish before, or I guess the wounds also that haven't healed. What if the wounds are all tied up with that other person and there needs to be conversation or something between them? Or do you feel that's not ever necessary and you can actually complete it on your own without going back and communicating with the previous?
There may be a sense of ego satisfaction by having a communication with that person, but to be really honest, everything in that pain and suffering is actually within ourselves. So we can do the work with ourselves completely and heal completely because we're carrying the judgments inside ourselves. The judgments about ourselves and the other person are in us, not in the other person.
Mm-hmm. So
the idea of resentment is nothing to do with who they are. It's what we carry.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually heal ourselves and then move forward cleanly. But the thing is not usually natural. We tend not to have the skills unless we've been trained in it to do the self-healing before we move forward. And yes, it is true for both genders. We both have that tendency.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so if we're taking that break between lunch and dinner, you know, if we've completed a relationship, we want to, you know, digest and process what happened there. And you're advising as the love doctor that we take a little gap in between. What's the usual time frame that's ideal for that? Do we need 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months? How long does a person need to be able to process that and be more clear and ready to move into a new relationship?
I would say that the guidance is if you're not seeking help from somebody like myself or some other coach or therapist or guide, that if you are simply wanting to take time to heal, because time can heal, and you're not just simply burying the wounds, it really comes down to the place when you notice yourself not even thinking about your ex-partner.
Hmm.
If you're still carrying around that feeling of like, oh, I wish there was this, I wish there was that, or you look around the house, particularly if you carry if you have gifts from them or knickknacks from them or stuff around your house that they brought to you or you have from them, if that's just still there, that's a hook into the past relationship and that's in the way.
Mm.
So it definitely is a energetic space as well as a time frame, but truthfully, it's good to work with somebody else who can give you some neutral feedback so you can see where you are on track or where you're off track.
Hmm. So, okay, so that's something to think about. Folks, you know, the love doctor here, Barry Selby, is giving us a prescription that's fairly advanced, I would say. So this says, you know, you've come out of that love relationship and all of the goodness or tragedies, you know, at the ending of that. And before you move into what's next, or even before you start diving into those dating sites online and looking at all the potentials, doing your shopping, okay, give yourself a break until you're not finding yourself thinking about the past relationship anymore. I mean, gosh, without the distraction of the new or of the potential shopping list online, okay, without all those distractions and without diving into the dating scene to take your mind off of it, that means without the distractions, you're actually settled in yourself and you're not finding yourself reverting back to thinking about that relationship and that person. So that sounds like something that would be greatly beneficial to get some assistance with, Dr. Barry, love doctor. So you are, now you're working with people privately to help them do this. So how, for those that go, you know, heck, that could take me half a century to actually move into that piece on my own, right? How can we get a hold of you to get your skills and your support professionally? I know you work with people individually. I know, so yes. Folks, you can get the book, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, and get this higher guidance that will help speed up the process for you. But how do we reach you privately as well, Barry? Are you working with people remotely through Skype or phone?
I work with Skype, and if they're local to me in California or in LA, I do work with them one-on-one, but usually it's by Skype because it's a much more connected place through visual connection. I've got clients in Asia and Europe as well, so definitely through Skype. They can find me through my website, which is my name, which is barryselby.com. And if they want to immediately get a booked, a conversation with you to find out what they want, then go to barryselby.com/chat.
Okay, folks, Barry Selby, that's BarrySelby.com/chat, will take you straight into the love chat. Okay, now we've just got a minute or two left. What's a last word, Barry, for what women can give the world? What do you feel like women have to offer to the world?
You can't do that to me in 2 minutes.
Well, better than two words.
Let's start a foundation, a platform to build from. I feel that women have been trained by the society and by the world to be like the men in business, in politics, in success. And ladies, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's not your best way. Your feminine heart is needed more than ever. We have a directional change to the planet that's necessary, and it's the feminine energy, the feminine power, the feminine heart that is needed to guide that change. I'm passionate about talking more about this in the world, and I'm still discovering what that's going to be talking about, because it's still coming up in me now as we speak. But I'm feeling more and more that women, your feminine energy is what's missing, and it's more so than just saying feminine energy. There's a lot to describe it, but what I see women doing more and more, thankfully, is they're starting to realize that sisterhood, that cooperation, collaboration are fundamental for success in the world. And that's the beginning steps we can take.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Barry. It's a blessing to have you on again today, and all the gifts that you're bringing to the world. I want to say thank you from the world and the women of the world and their new lovers for that. And folks, here we have it from Barry Selby, the love doctor himself. What can women give to the world? Be yourself. Be who and what you really are. You don't have to step into that manly role. Be the feminine that you are, God-given. Blessings. Thank you, Barry. We love having you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Listeners, remember that you are never alone. You are loved, and all is well. This is a Dr. Leslie Show reminding you to be blessed and walk sacred.
Has Google warned you that your website is not mobile-friendly and you'll be devalued in search rankings? Does your business need to rank higher in the search engines? Have you ever considered a mobile app to build customer loyalty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, let your friends at ZenLedge help launch your business into the 21st century. Mention this ad and get 2 free hours of custom development with a 5-hour commitment. That's a $200 value. Don't miss this great opportunity. Call your friends today at ZenLedge, 843-882-7149. You can also visit them on the web, zenledge.com.